So we're on Daf Tzadi Zion. Tzadi Zion Omen Aleph. And we got up to the two dots towards the bottom of the Amud. And we're talking about Machshich Aleim Umevion. So let's count up from the bottom of the Amud. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 lines up from the bottom of the Amud. So most of our discussion yesterday was about Chazaka and Bedika, and you're buying tefillin from an unknown, so to speak, or at least he's unknown to you, so far. And the question is how you bodek and how many bedikas you need to establish that he's reliable and that he's a bucky. And then at the end of our discussion yesterday, we began a different part of the sugya, and that was the halach of machshich aleim umevion, which means that if it's impossible, let's say for argument's sake, because of the volume of piles and piles of tefillin, it's impossible that during the course of Shabbos you can save all these tefillin by taking them one pair of tefillin and wearing one pair of tefillin at a time and bringing them into Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So then the Mishnah advocates in that case Machshich Aleim, that you go out of the city into this area, let's say it's an open field where the tefillin are in danger of getting lost, getting destroyed. So there's a problem of Chil Kedushas Tefillin, so we're going to allow you to be Machshich Al HaTchum. And then, immediately after Shabbos, you'll be able to, you're located there in a way that you can carry the Tefillin back to the city and save the Tefillin. And basically, during the course of Shabbos, he's going to position himself as close as he possibly can to the tefillin and guard them. And then immediately after Shabbos, he's going to take them back in. So apparently, the Gemara now is unaware of the answer to the following question. We offered an answer, but the Gemara right now it doesn't understand why he can't take in the tefillin one by one, wearing one pair of tefillin at a time. Ve'amai lailinu zug zug. In other words, we said that even though, generally speaking, there's a gzera and a shvus, the rabbana, that you don't wear tefillin on Shabbos in a rishus harabim, because he might come to carry it, etc. But nevertheless, we allowed him to wear one zug at a time to override that shvus in order to save the tefillin. So why are we telling him now in our Mishnah that when he finds these piles of tefillin, then machshich aleim, he should stand guard over the tefillin, but not bring the tefillin back into the, from the sada back into the rishus hayochid? Why can he wear them one at a time? Amar Rav Yitzchak Bereid Rav Yehuda Lididi Mefarsh Leminei De Abba. So I heard the interpretation of our Mishnah from my father. That would be Rav Yehuda. Kol she'ilu machnisan zug zug v'cholos kodem shkiyas hachama machnisan zug zug v'im lo machshich aleim u'mevim. Now what the Mishnah has in mind is that if he will be able to take in all the tefillin, every last pair of tefillin that he found, by doing the zug zug and wearing them Derech Malbush, the way he would wear them during the weekday, one zug at a time, v'kolos, and before Shabbos enters, he will be able to bring all the tefillin in, then that's exactly what he should do. V'imlo, but if he can only do a half-baked job, which means that he'll only be successful because of the large volume of tefillin in bringing one at a time, but he won't be able in that time period to bring all the tefillin back before Shkiyas HaChama, then don't even begin the process of wearing the tefillin one at a time. It's an all or nothing proposition. Is Machshech HaLeim, he should stand there over the course of Shabbos, and he should watch the tefillin until after Shabbos ends, umevion, and then simply he'll carry the tefillin back by hand. Now, in order to explain this Gemara of Rav Yitzchak, we're going to say the following: that mikevon sha'afim yachnisam zug zug, even if we would allow him to wear one pair of tefillin at a time, tzorach hu litroach v'lachzor l'sodeh mishechatechshach lahovias ha'tefillin shenisharu shom. And it seems that right now we're operating with a premise of tircha. We want to avoid tircha. And if he's not going to be able to bring in and finish this job before Shabbos entered, before the onset of Shabbos, then he's going to be matriach himself during Shabbos, after nightfall, to bring the rest of the tefillin. So it's all a question of whether he could finish the job and bring in all these tefillin before Shabbos. Again, I'm not sure if it's before Shabbos, why he has to be machnis as a tefillin zug zug, but let's leave that as a question for the time being. But if he cannot finish the job before Shabbos, and he's going to have to be toreach on Shabbos to go out back into the, you know, to the outskirts there, to the fields, in order to bring in the rest of the pair of tefillin zug zug. So in order to avoid that situation of tircha, having to go back and forth into the city and then out to the fields, is therefore lo itiru, they're not going to allow him to carry the tefillin zug zug in order to save the tefillin. Again, whatever part of the whole pile, the miktas tefillin, is left. But rather, he wants him to stand there until it gets dark and bring in all the tefillin together. Yachad. Yachnisam kulam yachad. After Shabbos.
Why do you understand it's before Shabbos? Then there's no shaila at all. You can bring them all in.
Right. I don't know the logic of it. I'm just trying to read the words. He says, "Kol she'ilu machnison," which means that he can take in all the tefillin. V'kolos, right? Zug zug v'kolos. Kolos means that he'll finish up the job.
Kodem shkir on Shabbos itself.
No, he says kodem shkir. He says kodem shkir sachama, which means before the
Shabbos. That's for motzi Shabbos.
Oh, on motzi Shabbos.
All this is taking place on Shabbos. He has to finish the job on Shabbos.
Oh. So I misunderstood it. One second.
Maybe I'm wrong, but that's the way I understand it.
So what is Kodem Shkiyas? I thought Kodem Shkiyas Achama means before the onset of Shabbos.
There's a problem. You could take a whole barrel full and move it.
It's
before Shabbos.
Right, no, I mentioned to you that that's a question. Yeah, just one second. Let's just make sure we get the right taich here. One second. You know what? Sometimes the English helps. Let's see. Just give me a minute here and we'll see if possibly the English will help us. So what is a Shkia Sachama? Rabbi Yitzchak Berei Derad, Rabbi Yehuda, Kol She'ilu Machnisan Zug Zug. Whenever it is possible to bring in the tefillin pair by pair and finish before sunset. Okay, which sunset? Are we talking sunset on Erev Shabbos? No, that doesn't make any sense. So we're talking about sunset on Shabbos. He doesn't spell it out. Then machnison zug zug v'imlo, if that's not possible, is machshach aleim u'mevi'un, he must stay with them until dark and then bring them in. Oh, so he has a footnote, maybe that'll help us. Footnote number 25. Since he must anyway trouble himself to return after dark, okay. After dark when, I guess. Let's assume it's like you said, Rabbi, that after dark on Shabbos, to retrieve the remaining tefillin, the rabbis allowed him simply to stay there with all the tefillin until nightfall, and then transport them together to safety. Second. I'm sure we'll clarify this as we go along, but let's see if Rashi says v'im lav she'enam kalos kodem shkia sachama dahoil v'utzorach l'troch v'lachzor mishetechshach. He says since he does not gain time by transporting the tefillin on the Shabbos, the rabbis did not permit him to do so. So again, we're looking for a matir to allow us to wear tefillin and rishus harav on Shabbos, because we said that the matir is hatzolas hatefillin, and he's not going to gain anything by transporting the tefillin on Shabbos. It seems that he can accomplish his goal of hatzolas hatefillin in one of two ways. Either by standing there and watching and guarding the tefillin, or by wearing the tefillin one. So we're going to say the following. If he can wear the tefillin 1-1 and save all the tefillin, then we'll be matir the shvus of wearing tefillin and rishus harav. But if, on the other hand, he's not going to be able to finish the job and save all the tefillin, it's almost like all the tefillin is like one entity. So if he can't save that whole entity, then since he could save the tefillin in another way without violating... So again, if he could save the entire pail of tefillin by wearing them zug-zug, then we're going to allow him to override the shvus and wear the tefillin in rishus harav, one pair at a time. But if, at the end of the day, he will not be able to accomplish his goal and save all the tefillin in that method, so that method becomes disqualified, and now in order to save the tefillin, he simply positions himself in such a way, in such a place, that he will protect the tefillin. So why not say that even if he could save all the tefillin, so why override the shavuos if he could just simply watch the tefillin? One second. The ilav machshech aleihem umeviyam. If it's impossible, so again, if he could do the whole job, and we're gonna violate the shavuos, then that's okay. Machnisam zug zug. But if he can't finish the job,
since he has to go back anyway because he can't finish the job, he might as well not start. In other words, let's say you have five pairs of tefillin.
Right.
So and it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. He can go back and forth five times, get it all done before Motzei Shabbos.
Right.
That's okay in order to save the tefillin. If he has 100 pairs and he can't accomplish that,
right,
then it's not cannot even begin. And therefore wait till Motzei Shabbos and take the whole bunch.
But my question is, if he can accomplish the same goal of saving the tefillin, so why are we in general? Let's say even if he could complete the job, what does he gain by carrying the tefillin on his head and violating the Isur Derabbanan for the sake of Atzol's tefillin if he could accomplish Atzol's tefillin by just being machshich there? Maybe we don't want him. Maybe it's a tremendous imposition on him to have to stand there for the whole Shabbat. So maybe that's the factor here. In other words, we're weighing two factors, one against the other. Obviously, our ultimate goal is Hatzolas HaTefillin. But we could be Matir Hatzolas HaTefillin. We can accomplish Hatzolas HaTefillin in one of two ways. Either by imposing him this Hashecha business, Ad Shetechshach, and he watches the tefillin there, and that's a big hassle. He has to leave his house, and I don't know, maybe he has to sleep out in the fields. I don't know what he has to do. So that's not a great option. Or we can override the shavuos and allow him to wear his tefillin in a Rosh Hashanah Rav. And we're going to do that for the sake of Hatzol. So the machria, the tzarash, the kosva shlishi that's going to decide this is whether or not he could finish the job. If he could finish the job, then we'll overlook the shavuos rather than imposing upon him that tremendous hassle of having to be machshech and shomer the tefillin. But if he's not going to finish the job, then the best option would be that he should stand there and guard the tefillin. He says the following: Ilav, im atfillin merubos, v'yafim yachnisem zug zug eri yochel lahaspik ulahachnis es kulam kodem shetishke achama, is machshich aleim, yamod shom kol hayom, v'yishmar aleim. Ad shetechshach, umeviyam v'oz yavi es kol zugas hatfilin biyado liachar chashecha, shemikevon sha'afim yachnisam zug zug, tzorach hu litroach v'lachzor l'sodeh. I don't know why is that a factor, but it seems that that's a very big factor, that he's going to have to be torech himself and go back to the sodeh. Lavi es hatfilin shenishru sham. Is therefore lo itirulo, that's part of the heter here. Don't get it here. Anyway, he says lo itirulo lilbosh tefillin b'shabbos litzorach hatzolas miktsosam eli yishmaram b'mkomon ad shetechshach v'yachnis kulam b'yachad. Again, he puts a tremendous emphasis here on the tircha of having to go back to the fields, I guess after Shabbos, he says, Mishteshach, Lahavias Hatfilin Shenisharushon. So that the matir of Zug Zug, which allows us to override the Shvus, will have to be based on the fact that we gain, that what do we gain? Again, I thought what we'd gain is that, you know, we're getting time, that the tefillin doesn't have to sit there never like an irani dachas, you know, out there in the fields. That's not the pushing factor over here, but rather, what do we gain by this? We gain by this that now he doesn't have to go back to the field, misha techshach. But if in any event he's going to have to go back to the field to techshach, and then therefore we have a choice of two options. Either he guards the tefillin there for the balance of Shabbos, so he's already doing a tircha, or we're going to allow him to carry the tefillin by wearing them zug. We're going to override the shavus, but we're going to avoid that hassle of imposing upon him the responsibility to watch and guard the tefillin. So in such a case, we're going to allow him to override the shavus. Well, let me just read a footnote here. Maybe the footnote will add some element here, shed a light. He says, "Madua lo chivu es hamotzi tefillin." Just one second. Maybe this is already taking us into a different sugya. Yashakalim kedei latzilan. Osu takana, that's an interesting word here. I'm just catching my eyes, catching one word. Osu takana, that afilu kshen merubin, v'ein kalos kodem shkia sachamo, yamot shom ad shetechshach v'yishmeri. And I'm assuming that this takana was made, I don't know, he doesn't spell this out, in order to circumvent the necessity to violate the Darabbanan. Alright, let's just see if we can make some progress. I exhausted all of my svarim here. Now the Mishnah says Ubisakana. In other words, if it's impossible for him to stand there and watch the tefillin because of a danger, is then mechason v'holechlo. He covers the tefillin with his garment in order to, I guess, minimize the bizayin of the tefillin and possibly minimize the chance that... So again, we're going to have to see what the sakana. The Gemara is going to have two opinions about the sakana. So Gemara says, Vasanya, we have a braisu b'sakana molichan pachos me arba amos. So now we have another variable in the equation here. We have a possibility of saving the tefillin by carrying them less than 4 amos at a time. I guess he makes a hanocha every 2 amos, for example. And he keeps doing this until he's able to bring the tefillin to Rishus HaYochid. Or he writes here, Achi Agil Mokom HaMishtamer. Okay, maybe it's not a Rishus HaYochid. That might be more problematic. He says, "Val yidei hilucho biofen zeh eino over al isur Torah lefish lo hevir arba amos bivas achas." So our Mishnah says that b'sakana, the only option that he has to minimize the bizayin of tefillin is lachason bibgado, whereas the Braisa says that if it's sakana, instead of being mechasim bebgado, he should carry them 2 amos at a time. So Amar Rav lo kasha. Havis Hakanas Goyim, the Havis Hakanas Listen. The Mishnah that says he just covers it with his beged, that's a case of Goyim, that the Goyim made a gzera that we're not allowed to wear tefillin, and therefore he has no option of wearing the tefillin. Not only that, he doesn't even have an option of carrying the tefillin, because apparently he says, im yimtza'u kishet tefillin biyado, if the goyim find that he's carrying the tefillin, yahargehu, they'll kill him. And that's where the Mishnah says that b'sakana mechasan v'holichlo v'ha, in the braisa that says that he should carry the tefillin pochos mi'arba amos, that's a case of sakonas listim. And now we have to explain the difference between the Mishnah and the braisa. So again, the Mishnah is talking about sakonas goyim, he cannot carry the tefillin. So then, if he finds tefillin, now it seems like it wouldn't matter at this point in our Mishnah how many pairs of tefillin there were. Because even if he finds a low number of tefillin, if it's shas sakana, then he's going to endanger his life by wearing the tefillin. Because sakana is goyim. Let him cover the tefillin with a beged. Oh, he writes, Kedei shelo yu mutolim bibizayon. Okay, fine. Mashiram bimkomon. Avalo yazizam misham. He shouldn't carry them from there, because shema yargishu ba'agoyim v'yischayev harigal amalchus. Okay, fine. This is based on a Rashi later on in the sugi. Now the Bryce is talking about a case where we only have a sakonas listim, and there he could carry the tefillin less than 4 amos at a time. And now we can ask ourselves in the Bryce, how many pairs of tefillin do we have? He writes here, Divrei HaBryce, Nemru al hamotzi tzvasim o krichos. I guess it means that he cannot finish the job on Shabbos and carry and wear all the pairs of tefillin. He's got piles and piles of tefillin.
He doesn't have to wear them, he can carry them.
And he can carry them. Why is he carrying them? Yorei lahachshich b'sodeh. He doesn't have the option of standing there and guarding the tefillin, which normally we said would be his best option if he can't finish the job because of the ribuya tefillin. But here, because sakonas list him, he's afraid to stand there in the dark, you know, watching these tefillin. Is there from olichon pochos pochos me'arba amos? And here there's no gzera the malchus that might catch him carrying the tefillin. And we'd rather not cover over the tefillin, because although I guess covering over the tefillin, you know, is the least of options, that's the best you can do under the circumstances, but here you have a better option. You could actually carry the tefillin pachos pachos mi'arba amos, and therefore instead of relying on just covering the tefillin, maybe the listim are going to get a hold of these tefillin. They're probably goyim. And there'll be no bizoyin in the tefillin. So in order to avoid that, you're going to carry the tefillin. Pachos, pachos, mi'arba amos. And that's the subject of the braisa. The braisa is talking about a case of sakonas listim. And he has now an option of carrying the tefillin. Again, he can't violate a deraisa of Melechus Otzah by carrying them 4 avos at one shot for the sake of Hatzolos HaTefillin. But we will allow him to walk 2 amos at a time carrying the tefillin. There's no chash of sakana. And the other alternative, which would be that he stands there and guards the tefillin, that's not an option for him because of the sakana of listed. Why doesn't he just cover the tefillin? So covering the tefillin was only a fallback position when there was no possibility of carrying the tefillin, like in the case of Sakonis Goyim and Amishnah. Because if he carries the tefillin, they may catch him and he'll be put to death. So then, what's the least of all evils, so to speak? How do we minimize our damage? We cover the tefillin. But in a case where we can actually carry the tefillin without violating Meleches Hotzah D'Oraisa by carrying it pochos mikashir, that's what we're going to do in a case where there's no option of standing there guarding the tefillin out in the fields because it's Sakonis Listin. And why should we rely on the last possibility, which would be just to cover the tefillin? That's not going to do the job. That the listener might find the tefillin even if you cover it. So therefore you carry it. Now I'm trying to figure out, why is there no option of wearing the tefillin? So he says that Divrei HaBraisa Nemru al Hamotzi Tzvasim Okrichos. Right, and I think the volume is too great. And therefore, in those two options, we said of either wearing as many tefillin as you can, but not finishing the job, or watching the tefillin and guarding them without carrying them, we made a takana that he should watch the tefillin rather than violate the meleches shvus d'rabbanon of wearing the tefillin. In this case of Sakonas Listim, he doesn't have that option of standing out there in the fields guarding the tefillin. And he doesn't have the option of wearing the tefillin because we made a takana that if he can't finish all the tefillin, if there is a great volume of tefillin, then we excluded the option of wearing the tefillin. And although he does have an option of covering the tefillin, but that's not a great option, we would rather advocate in favor of carrying the tefillin. Again, wearing the tefillin is not an option because there's too much of a volume of tefillin. Standing there and guarding the tefillin is not an option because Sakonis Listim. Covering the tefillin is an option, but we have a better option. And for the sake of protecting the tefillin, because we're afraid the listener can get hold of these tefillin, we're going to allow him to carry two amos at a time in Rishus HaRav. Okay, now we turn to Daf Tzadi Zayin Amud Beis. Amalei Abaye, Abaye says to Rav, he's not happy with Rav, B'mayu kim t'lamas nisim b'sakonis goyim amos seifa. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says that if it's a shas sakana, he should not be covering the tefillin, which is what the Tanakhama was saying, but rather nosnam lechavero vechavero lechavero. They should set up a line, a row, and each person, like in the old days when they put out a fire, right? Each person would pass over the tefillin to his friend. And that would guarantee that they would not carry it four amos, because each friend was situated within the four amos of his other friend. And that's the way they would transport the tefillin, says Reb Shimon, to a makom ha-mishtameh. Now, if you're talking about a sakana of goyim, then kol shkein diav shemilsa, so this makes it even worse. Because imagine the public nature of organizing this whole parade where one Jew passes the tefillin to another Jew, to another Jew, to another Jew, is avshav milsa. The word is going to get out. It's public in nature, and the goyim are going to come and kill them. So it can't be that our mission is talking about a case of sakonis goyim, because then Reb Shimon's advocacy in favor of passing the tefillin on from one friend to the other would make no sense. That would further intensify or increase the probability of sakana. So my answer is chisuri metzvah chikton. We have to add one line to the Mishnah. When do we say that you can cover the tefillin and leave them in that state? That's b'sakonas ov de gilulim. That's a case where we don't have any option of carrying the tefillin in our hands because we might get killed by the goyim. They made a gzera that we can't get involved in tefillin. Avol b'sakonas listim. And that's the chisuri mechzera here, which we didn't have this as a wedge to explain Rabbi Shimon, because the way we had it without the chisuri mechzera of sakonas listim, we're talking about sakonas al tikachavim. And then Rabbi Shimon is going to make no sense that we pass the tefillin on from one hand to the other. Ah, but let's introduce a new piece that was left out of the Mishnah. Avol b'sakonas listim. And now what we have is a sakana that the listim will humiliate the tefillin, if I could use that term. They will desecrate the tefillin. And therefore covering the tefillin is not a good option. We have a better option. And according to the Chachamim, the better option is molichon pochas mi'arba amos. And then we bring him to a mokom mishtar. Reb Shimon says, no. Nosim l'chaver v'chaver l'chavera. In other words, Reb Shimon does not allow, he's not willing to permit this pochas mi'arba amos. He's afraid that if you let him carry it by himself as a solo effort, less than 2 amos, less than 4 amos, 2 amos at a time, he may forget himself and end up carrying it 4 amos. I don't want to get involved in that. I have another option. Again, it's not a case of sakonasaku, of passing it on from one to the other. That guarantees that they'll never carry it more than 4 amos, because each person will situate himself within 4 amos. Now, at this point, I would understand intuitively Rabbi Shimon. I would, if I could use the word, I would identify with Rabbi Shimon, that if there are 2 options, one option is to carry the tefillin pochas pochas mi'arba amos. The other option is to set up this row of people and pass it from one person to the other. I would rather go with the row of people because I have an ingrained guarantee that there won't be, by mistake, a carrying of 4 amos. But if you'd ask me why I would object to Rav Shimon, what's the other tzad to favor the recommendation of pochas pochas mi'arba amos, and why do I have this daigut, why am I reluctant to allow for one person to pass it to the other? That's because of the public nature of this enterprise. You know, everybody's getting involved in carrying in Rishus HaRab, albeit less than a shear of 4 amos, but it becomes a public spectacle that in effect we are violating Shabbos by carrying, by handing or passing the tefillin from one hand to the other. B'maika Mifgi Marisov are according to the Chachamim, is pachos mi'arba'amos adif. Why do we object to passing it on from one person to the other? Amrit nosin l'chaver chaver chala avshem milsa de Shabbos. That's a public zilzal in kvod Shabbos. Why? Because everybody's involved. It became like a public spectacle of carrying tefillin on Shabbos in Rosh Hashanah. Marso, Reb Shimon holds, I would rather avoid allowing you to carry it even in a private sort of way, right? You put the tefillin under your arm, but you carry it and you stop every 2 amos. I would rather say nosin l'chavero adif, because the amrit molicho pochas pochas mi'arba amos is imnin de labadai to be'osi le'is le'asuyinu. He might come to violate Shabbos and carry it arba amos b'shus harabim, and that'll be a chil Shabbos of an isu Torah. I'd rather avoid the possibility of a violation of a malacha d'oraisa even if it's at the expense of Avshe Milsa, of some sort of public Chilul Shabbos. So the Rabbanan will not tolerate this kind of passing it on from one to the other, because that's Avshe Milsa de Shabbos. And even though the Rabbanan have to admit that by allowing one person to save the tefillin alone, without any help from his friends, and carry it pachos pachos, we run the risk of carrying it for Amos B'Shisarab. I'd rather run that risk than the Avshe Milsa. And Reb Shimon returns and he says, "What do you mean? Avshe Milsa is a some sort of amorphous zilsel the kavod Shabbos, but it's not a violation of a hardcore malacha d'oraisa. And if you allow one person to carry the tefillin pachos pachos mikashir, then you are you're exposing yourself to the possible violation of a chil Shabbos d'oraisa, which you can avoid totally, and there's no risk of a violation of otsa of dalet amos of havaros dalet amos b'sarab in a case where you have a row of people, each one is situated within the two amos or less than four amos of his friend." So that's the machlokas now between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon. Now I just want to read the note over here in explaining Rabbi Shimon. He says the following. He says, "Pa'amim shelo yosim el libo v'yovo lo lichem arba amas shusram yechalas ha-shabbos b'isu Torah, u'mikevan shebo lichon pa'amim rabos kol pam pam pochos mi'arba amos yesh lachosh shemapam achas," right? You know, four amos, that's a long trip. He's going to have to stop who knows how many times. Is pam achas yitev lo yosim el libo shehevir Adaladam, Samok Shemolichas to Satvile de Kama Bene Adam, call Echon Molich es Achefetz Betoch Arba Mamosov. Each one is carrying the object within four amas of his friend. Ain Lachshos Shemi Yisrashel, the Olicham Yosem Mikach, that there will be a toast and they'll carry more than four amos. Shemi Kavan She. Sheyesham Anoshim Harbe Kol Echod Yaskir Lechavero Veloyavoli De Mikshal. So here he quotes a Bir Allah of the Mishnah Berurah, Simon Shim Memtes, who wants to say that since there are Harbe B'nei Adam, that's why it's Mutter, because each one will remind his friend, "Don't you dare carry more than four amos." Birshus Harab. Right, we had a svara like this at the beginning of Masechta Erevin to differentiate between Sukkah and Mavui and Korah. Do you remember this? I just, again, I'm not making an equation, but just the sheer memory, that in the case of a Korah, since all the Bnei Mavui are relying on this Korah, if by chance the Korah is above 20 Amma, they'll remind one or the other. But in the case of a sukkah, if the schach is above 20 amma and the sukkah is a chovas yachid, who's going to remind me, "Hey, don't sit in that sukkah because the schach is above esrim amma"? Here also, according to the Bir Halacha, that's what's going on here, that Rav Shimon is relying on this, you know, the multi people that are involved in this task of carrying the tefillah, and each one will remind the other. I didn't think you had to go that far. I thought you could just say that each one is situated within four amos. He says the nafkemina between the Bir Halacha and the way I understood the Gemara is that dafkal yidei harbe b'nei adam mutar. I'm not exactly sure what the minimum number of people. Aval imeim rak shnayim, or I guess the difference between two and three, the Mishnah Berurah says that's not good enough. Rabbi Shimon would not be happy if there are two people and each one passes it to the next one, and then he resituates himself going around the bend within four amos. Ubekal pam molicho kol echad mehem pochos mi'arva amos. That's us, because then you don't have this svara of harbe b'nei adam, which is mutter. And the Mishnah Berurah he bases his case on the language of the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch there in Shimon Shin Mem Tes Paskins, it's Dafkal Yidei Harbe B'nei Odom Muta. And the Mishnah Berurah wants to say that it means that if there were only two, that would not be enough. But he writes here in the note, Ayin Prima Gadim. So he has a Prima Gadim in a different place. Shesover Sha'afal Yidei Shnei B'nei Odom Muta. So the Bir Aloch objects to the Prima Gadim because he says, Kevon Sha'odam Zem Molech Kama Pa'amim Pachos Mi'arba Amos, Harei B'Klal Akzera, Sha'osel Olech Pachos Pachos Mi'arba Amos. He says, in order to avoid this Gzera that prohibits carrying less than 4 Amos in Shesarabim, we have to have Harbe B'nei Odom. If it's not Harbe B'nei Odom, it's only 2 people, then we're still stuck with this Gzera of Pachos Pachos Mi'arba Amos, that's us. What happens, asks the Mishnah Berurah, if there aren't Harbe B'nei Odom available? He says, "Be'ofin she'ein sham Harbe B'nei Odom she'yuchlu la'achnes satfilin al'yidei avarosa mi'odom l'chavero af Rabbi Shimon Mode she'mutol olichas satfilin pochos pochos mi'arba amos." Rabbi Shimon is only offering what he considers our first stop on the road, our first recommendation. The first recommendation in the choice between one person carrying it, pochos pochos, or many people passing it one to the other, is for many people to pass to the other. In event that you don't have the availability of many people to pass it to the other, then Rabbi Shimon would agree to the Tanakama, and we have the fallback position of one person carrying it 2 amos at a time. And how does the Mishnah Berurah know this? From a Gemara in Shabbos Kufnun Gimel Amid Beis, Adam shaholach b'derech b'erev Shabbos v'hichshik lo ayom u'biyado kish immos. So he's stuck there out of the on the road, and he's holding on to his pocketbook, which is full of his money, and therefore he has no possibility. He has no possibility of saving his mos. You know, let's dramatize it, his life savings, and getting his pocketbook back into the city, because if he carries it, he's out in a Rosh Hashanah Rabim, he'll violate a biblical Iser of Otsah. He tirulo lo licho pochos pochos mi'arba amos ad shi yovi lebesa. And since the Gemara doesn't mention Rabbi Shimon as a dissenting view, apparently even Rabbi Shimon would agree that if all other possibilities are lost, then we'll rely on this heter to carry it 2 amos at a time, which the Gemara says explicitly applies in the case of an adam sholok b'derech b'erev Shabbos v'hichshech olav ayom u'biyado kishel mos. So we're going to be molicho pochos pochos mi arba amos. And therefore, it's fair to assume that even Rabbi Shimon would be moda that in a fallback position, you have no other option of Harbe B'nei Adam, we're going to allow you as one individual, pochos pochos mi arba amos. You see, honestly, I don't understand this Mishnah Berurah. I'm missing a piece of the puzzle here, because the Gemara over there in Kufnun Gimel is talking about Adam Bol Al Mamono. The Gemara is saying that because we're afraid that he'll violate Shabbos on a Doraisa level, we have to find some sort of way that he'll be aware of the fact that he shouldn't violate Shabbos. So we allow him Pachos Pachos Mikashir. In the case of somebody who's saving Tefillin, despite the fact that it's a great endeavor to save Tefillin, but I wouldn't say Adam Bol Al Tefillin, such that we must absolutely find a heter to allow him to carry it 2 amos. I'm not saying the Mishnah Berurah is not right, I just don't understand his analogy. But basically, the Mishnah Berurah is operating with a kind of a kal v'chomer, that if for the sake of saving someone's kis shel mos, we're going to allow you to carry it 2 amos at a time if there's no other option, then certainly for the sake of saving tefillin, which has kedushas tefillin, we're going to allow you to do so. And Reb Shimon would certainly allow that. Reb Shimon only recommends, if you have another option, is that you pass it one hand to the other. Now, we don't have too much time, but we'll try to fit in one more piece, if anyone could stay another 5 minutes. V'chein b'no, the Mishnah says that if his son is out there in the fields, and it's a very young child, then in order to get that child back into Rishus HaYachid, and now we're talking about a case where there's no principle called Hachai Noseis Atzmo, meaning the child is too young to walk on his own, and therefore there's a Meleches Hotzah by carrying the child, is the Mishnah allows you to bring the child home. And the Mishnah says, Noso lechavero v'chavero lechavero, and we pass the child from one hand to the other. Now let's keep in mind that on the one hand, we are violating this Iser of Yado Liyado of the Rabbanon. You remember the Rabbanon were all up in arms about Avshav Milsa, you know, this is a public ceremony and we're violating the Shabbos. They weren't happy about Nosin L'Chaver V'Chaver L'Chaver. So the Gemara asks, B'no my boy Hassam. In other words, The son is out there in the fields on Shabbos. What's he doing there? So the Bei Menashe Tanu, we have a brisa of Bnei Menashe, Bei Menashe, and he says, Bishe Yoldadato Imo Basad. This is really a newborn baby that was born out in the fields. We got to get him into the city because, you know, the air out in the fields is not very healthy for the child. So therefore, nosno lechavero, chavero lechavero, even if it means getting involved, 100 people have to get involved, we're going to pass the baby on until we get to the house. So the Gemara tries to clarify, umai afilu hein mea. Why did the Mishnah have to emphasize that even if you have 100 people, that you pass it from one to the other, that's fine. And the Gemara says, afalgav de kashale yada. There's a health problem here. Why? Because when the child gets handled, a newborn baby, by 100 different hands, or pairs of hands, is kasha leyada, that's not a very healthy thing for the child. You know, the child's, let's say its bone structure is still very soft, and there are other possible dangers. Afilu hachi ha'adifa, which means that the best way of getting the child from the field into the house is through anoshim harbe, many different people, even if you are risking a certain element of the health of the child, and that's better than having one person carry the child pochos pochos me arba amos. And again, this is another reflection of the logic of Rabbi Shimon, that if one person were to carry something in Rishus HaRabim less than 4 amos at a time, we're afraid that he might forget himself and carry 4 amos at a time, and he'll be Mechal Shabbos on a Doraisa level. And this reflects again the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. On the other hand, the Chachamim, they said that there's another option over here, and you can carry, in the case of tefillin, and certainly in the case of the child, you can carry pochos mi arba amos, and if you do it litzorcha tefillin, yesh laholich esatinok mi pochos pochos mi arba amos, because the Rabbanon at all costs want to avoid avsha milsa and this public, in quotation marks, desecration of Shabbos. Keep in mind that the Chachamim, who say that one person carries the tefillin less than 2 amos at a time because they want to avoid avshim milsa, they would have more of an agenda to allow one person to carry the tinok because there's another issue here in the health issue. So imagine if you have two strikes against you. Number one, by setting up this chain of people, you will have an avshim milsa. Number two, you add an element of risk to the health of the baby. Therefore, how much more so? If in the case we only had one of those two, which is the case of Hatzolah's tefillin, right? There's no issue of 100 people passing the tefillin other than avshim milsa, and yet the Chachamim didn't want, they wanted to avoid avshim milsa at all costs, and therefore they recommended, or shall I say, advocated in favor of one person carrying the tefillin. How much more so in the case of the tinok, where in addition to the avshim milsa, if you had 100 people on line in this conveyor belt line, you also have a problem with the health of the tinok. How much more so would they advocate in favor of one person carrying the baby 2 amos at a time? Rashi has in fact 2 lishonos in our sugya. We went with the second Lishna, but Rashi calls it the Ikar. But the first Lishna of Rashi, he says that when Rav gave the answer, Habis HaKonas Nachri, what he meant by that was that the Brisa that allowed Tiltil Pachas Pachas Mi'arba Amos was talking about Sakona Shel Listim Goyim, who are Mitsuyim B'Sadeh, in the Sada where they found the tefillin, and if he'll leave the tefillin there, there's a chash that they'll be mevaza the tefillin. Therefore, they were matir halachas atfillin pachos pachos mi'arba amos kidei latzilam mi'bizyonam. That's what it means, ha b'sakonas nochri. But we're talking about not nochri with xera, but rather nochri of listim. V'ha b'sakonas listim, meaning when the Mishnah says that machason v'holechlo, that's a case of tefillin that are found in a place of listim Yisrael. And there the sakana would be to stay there and watch and guard the tefillin because they might kill him in order to steal his mama. But there's no chash that the listim will humiliate the tefillin and desecrate them because they're still bnei Yisrael and they're not chshudim al kach. So they may be listim and they might be suspect or... we might suspect them of even murder, if need be, but for the sake of Gzela, but they would not deliberately desecrate tefillin. Therefore, hitirilo rak lachasosam, they only allowed him to cover over the tefillin, so that they shouldn't be munachim v'bizayim. And according to this interpretation of Rashi, we have to be magia in the Kasha of Abaye, and we have to change the gear, so it should say, B'may ukimto lemasdisim v'sakonas listim, not sakonas goyim, Amos Sefer, Rabbi Shimon, Omer, Nosim, Lechaver, V'chaver, Lechaver, Kolshkin, the Avshim Milsa. Now, what does that mean? That if the Mishnah is talking about a case of listim Yisrael, who would not deliberately desecrate the tefillin, so then Abaye's question is, why does it say in the Sefer that Rabbi Shimon is matir lachnisam le'ir through this method of yitein chavero chaver lechavero? The very fact that more people are being misasek in passing on the tefillin is misparse biyosa, that adds to the public nature of what's going on. And hikilu b'shmir shabbos shelo letzorach, and that would be a kula in shmir shabbos shelo letzorach. And on that the Gemara answers chisure mechzera v'hachi k'toni, b'medvar mamurim shemechason v'holichlo b'sakonas listim. Aval b'sakonas goyim, with a chashash that they might be mevaza the tefillin, is molichon pochos pochos me'arba amos. So that's the way Rashi would have it according to the second, which is actually in Seder, the first lishon of Rashi, and that will require changing the girsa as we have it. We explain the Gemara based on our Girsa with the second Lishna of Rashi. So we're going to stop here. Madaf Tzadi Zayin Amit Beis. And what we're up to is Amalei, is Rabbi Yehuda Omer Nosein Adam Chavis. That's what we'll pick up Mirtz Shem tomorrow.